I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
They're becoming some of the most familiar sights of the season. The lines and the long waits, whether for a test or a dose. People prepared to be patient, but is that being pushed to the limit? Good evening. Appointments at assessment centers are hard to come by. The situation is so overloaded, many health experts believe Ontario's COVID-19 data simply doesn't reflect reality anymore.
The delays for a test, followed by the delays for a result. CTV's Mike Walker is live outside Women's College Hospital with more. Mike?
Well, Pauline, Nathan, people say it's next to impossible to book a PCR test. Many saying they have to wait days, up to a week for their appointment. And for the labs processing those tests, it's taking, in some cases, up to more than 2 days to turn the results around. The lineups remain long and steady at COVID-19 assessment centers, appointments harder to come by in the wait-taking days.
A battle to get a test. We stayed up till just past midnight last night, and that allowed us to get a test here.
We tried to book an appointment before Christmas, and we couldn't get in anywhere.
Testing centers operating at capacity in the face of the dominant Omicron variant. This as Ontario's daily case count surges between 8 and 10,000 over the past week, though experts say the number is much higher.
The testing system is almost impossible to get, like, for most people now. Like, the wait is for days, the result takes days, far beyond when you should be able to act on it.
70,000 PCR tests are being processed daily as labs struggle to keep pace amid staffing shortages.
We are starting to hear of some other labs that are starting to reach the 50-hour time. So, you know, getting results back to patients is taking a lot longer right now.
The government should say, like, if you have a rapid test, assume that you have it. Overall, the government needs to integrate rapid tests into the numbers.
Ontario's top doctor was supposed to provide an update on testing guidance today, but that was postponed in the wake of the CDC shortening the recommended isolation period for U.S. residents who test positive but are asymptomatic from 10 days to 5.
I want to make sure that, particularly among essential workers, that you get people out there much sooner.
The Ministry of Health says it's now reviewing that guidance against Ontario-specific evidence. This infectious disease specialist argues any changes should be based on science instead of staffing concerns.
And although we can see that kind of from day 5 to 7, there's less likelihood of spread of the infection, really a little bit of a buffer zone is important.
The province last changed its testing guidance in October 2020. At this point, anyone with symptoms or who are a close contact are eligible for a PCR test. Now, just before the holidays, Dr. Moore warned that there may have to be further limitations on PCR testing. Ministry officials now say we might expect an update sometime later this week. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Pauline, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Now, when it comes to the newest data, we are only getting some figures from the province today on account of the holidays. There are 8,825 new cases of COVID-19 being reported. Currently, 187 COVID-19 patients are in intensive care, an increase of 11 from yesterday. And the province says there are 491 people with COVID-19 in Ontario hospitals. Information on testing and deaths is not available today.
As Omicron runs rampant, the province is introducing new measures for long-term care homes. They take effect this Thursday.
All general visits to long-term care homes will be paused unless you're visiting a resident in a palliative situation. As well, social visits from homes will be paused. All residents, regardless of vaccination status, can continue to leave the home for essential reasons like medical appointments. Recognizing the critical role that designated caregivers play in the lives of residents, each resident will be continued to allow to designate 2 caregivers who may visit them.
The government says it will monitor the situation and adjust as needed. All general visitors are already required to be fully vaccinated to enter a long-term care home in Ontario. As of November 30th, data show 99% of staff and volunteers were fully vaccinated. And you can read more about these enhanced rules on our website. Our online team has complete coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
So the third dose is next, and the demand for boosters just keeps expanding.
So how is Ontario faring in the race to vaccinate? CTV's Sean Lethong is live with more on this. Sean.
Well, Nathan and Pauline, the third dose has really become the focus for Ontario. But many people we spoke to says you have to be willing to wake up early or be willing to wait.
In line as the sun comes up, dozens coming to the International Center in Mississauga.
We just felt compelled to get the booster. Don't want to worry about this anymore.
When doors opened at 10 a.m., many had been in line for hours, and some, like Lorraine Griffiths, are walk-ins who've had trouble finding a booster elsewhere.
I'm 50 years old. I work in the healthcare profession, and I can't get a shot. And I had to drive all the way from Cambridge, Ontario today to get a shot.
Beatrice Christie tried to book a shot, but the wait was too long.
I booked my appointment, but I got it in the month of March. And I don't want to wait that much long for booster shots, so I found this clinic. I came.
How you doing, everyone?
This morning, Premier Doug Ford toured a vaccine clinic at a HelloFresh warehouse in Brampton. He says in the race against Omicron, Ontario is ramping up vaccine capacity once again.
We had a couple slow days at Christmas, but we're world-class when it comes to vaccine rollouts. We'll be hitting up to, our goal is 300,000 a day.
Today, the City of Toronto announced that 30% of residents have now received their booster shot, and city-run clinics at Metro Convention Centre, Cloverdale Mall, Scarborough Town Centre, Mitchell Field Community Centre, and Woodbine Mall are open. But those locations are by appointment only.
Any more 230 appointments, 230.
The Cloverdale Mall Clinic had over 1,100 appointments today.
Oh, I've been waiting for a couple of months for this.
Though she waited a long time, Sheila McConville says the process for her was rather simple.
I got a call from the mayor, a recorded call, and just went from there.
Tom Dexy says you have to be sharp in order to get an early appointment.
Sometimes there's new openings that come up early in the morning, so you have to go and hopefully you'll get something.
Adding a layer of protection, one third dose at a time.
And you mentioned earlier that there were over 180 people in Ontario's ICUs being treated for COVID-19. That number has been steadily rising over the past couple of weeks. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, Sean. 90.7% of eligible Ontarians aged 12 and older have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And 88% of eligible people 12 and older are deemed fully vaccinated, which the province considers to be two doses. These figures only represent a portion of the vaccinations, as everyone 5 and older is eligible, but that data isn't being provided today.
And it's the question every family in Ontario wants answered. Will schools reopen to in-person learning next month? The premier is hinting an answer could come soon.
The minister has been sitting down at the table along with the Minister of Education, Minister of Health has, and they'll be having an announcement in the next couple of days.
Across the GTA, most public school boards are scheduled to restart January 3rd, but many also distributed wireless devices to students and instructed them to bring all of their belongings home in December in anticipation of a possible shutdown.
Just ahead, hockey fans hoping this isn't a sign of things to come. COVID-19's developing impact on the World Juniors and the other games now thrown into jeopardy. Test positivity rates are rising across the country, and that's despite the fact PCR tests are getting harder and harder to secure.
And now several provinces are enacting new rules. CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver reports.
As cases rise, so is demand for testing. But in much of this country, it's not as simple or easy as lining up and getting a swab. In Nova Scotia, PCR testing is now being reserved for essential workers and the most vulnerable, with contact tracing largely up to individuals.
All others who have COVID-like symptoms or are close contacts will need to use rapid test kits to test at home and self-manage if they test positive on the rapid test.
Because of COVID-19, Quebec says nearly 8,000 healthcare workers have been sidelined. To help reduce that impact, some infected workers will now be allowed to return to work.
Positive staff will be able to continue working according to a list of priority and risk management. It affects all essential workers, not just healthcare workers,
Quebec hopes the change will protect the increasingly fragile healthcare system. Today, Quebec reported 12,833 new cases. That total is more than Canada as a whole reported on its worst day of any previous wave, 9,569 cases on April 15th, 2021.
If it continues like this, if there is no restrictions in place and cases start going up, then we might have to be prepared for a circuit breaker or any other kind of lockdown soon.
Schools across the country are expected to return next week. Nova Scotia today announced it's extending the holiday break by 1 week, while Ontario says its decision will come down within days. Annie Bertrand-Oliver, CTV News, Ottawa.
If you live in Mississauga, you can strike this city's New Year's Eve fireworks off the list of things to do. The city is scrapping its planned event at Celebration Square over the recent surge in COVID cases. On New Year's Eve, the skating rink at Celebration Square will be open until 11 p.m. An update on Toronto's plans for New Year's Eve is expected soon.
And turning to the forecast now, Jessica Smith is here with a look at the current conditions. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Pauline. We're looking at the snow returning. We got through the majority of our day relatively clear, although cloudy, but another system just south of the border bringing a few flurries as we head through the overnight. Temperature-wise, though, we remain above seasonal. This mild trend as we wrap up 2021, not going anywhere. We're looking at around 1 through Milton, 2 in Niagara, 1 over in Cobourg, and really no wind chill factor to speak of as we head through the, I guess, beginning part of our night. In through Toronto Island, we're at 2 degrees right now. Through Pearson Airport at 1, winds very light, really across the board. As we head through the overnight, we're watching for light snow to roll through. Not a significant amount, and then it will start to transition over to rain as we head into the early morning hours. We're looking at a relatively dry start and then another round of active weather as we head into the later part of the day tomorrow. I'll have that coming up in the full forecast. Pauline?
Thanks, Jessica. A fatal crash involving a pedestrian in Mississauga this morning. It happened around 7:30 near Dundas and South Creek Drive. The victim died in hospital and the driver stayed at the scene. There's no word on any potential charges.
Next to a holiday tragedy in Ottawa, a young girl killed in a tobogganing accident.
The awful incident prompting calls for greater safety measures at the popular spot for families. CTV's Colton Prale reports.
A day after a tragic tobogganing accident that took the life of a young Ottawa girl, city workers transforming Mooney's Bay.
Everyone loves this hill. Everyone comes here in the winter. It's Mooney's Bay, right? And when I first found out that it was a little kid, like, it really touched my heart, right? Like, I feel bad. I feel bad for the parents.
Tiana Selms-Tucci was there Monday when the ambulance was on scene. She describes the shock that shadowed an otherwise typical winter's day at the park.
Some were sledding, some weren't. They were, like, I guess, in shock, like, what just happened?
Tuesday, the city adding protective barriers to lampposts and trees and removing a number of signposts from the park. Safety experts say it's those hazards that pose the greatest risk to sledders.
That sudden stop, that impact is what we want to avoid. And those pose the most dangerous risks in terms of injury.
The city says the hill has been closed to sledding since 2017, but parents in the area say it's unrealistic to expect kids to stay away, adding more needs to be done to keep them safe. Signs like these can be seen nearby, but the hill still popular with parents.
Of course, we know that it's we're not allowed. There are trees. It's dangerous, but we can't avoid it. It's really nice here. It's super fun to come with the kids.
In a statement, the city says the hill should not be considered safe for sledding and that bylaw will be patrolling the park this week to ensure people continue to abide by the rules. They're also closing the parking lot to discourage use of the hill.
I think the city needs to take to make a solution for all of us because we want to have fun in the winter. We want to go places with our kids, but they're safe.
The city has not said when they plan to open the hill again. Safety experts say the new measures will help decrease the risks, but say wearing a helmet and watching for obstructions is the best way to stay safe.
It's mitigating those risks. And we know, the vast majority of injuries like this are predictable and preventable.
Colton Prale, CTV News.
And still ahead tonight, the news that caught many in Toronto's theater community by surprise. Come From Away canceled. Canada's most successful musical unable to stay afloat amid the pandemic.
Two cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed at the World Junior Hockey Championship in Alberta.
The defending champions are now in quarantine. Two members of the American team have tested positive, so today's game against Switzerland had to be forfeited. It will be recorded as a 1-0 win for the Swiss. The status of the U.S. quarantine will be evaluated later to decide if the team can play Wednesday's game against Sweden.
Canada takes on Austria tonight in the only other scheduled game. Canadian forward Justin Sourdough won't be playing. He was suspended one game because of an illegal hit to the head in Canada's 6-3 win over Czechia in Sunday's opener.
COVID-19 has forced the postponement of 7 Ontario Hockey League games. The announcement came today after the Barrie Colts and Peterborough Petes were placed in health and safety protocols. Barrie has suspended team activities, resulting in 5 games being postponed. Peterborough will have 3 upcoming games rescheduled.
Meanwhile, the NHL's announced 10 more games have been postponed. Tomorrow's game between the Islanders and Red Wings has been called off because of COVID-19 issues, and 9 other games scheduled between Friday and January 10th are being rescheduled due to attendance restrictions in some Canadian cities. That includes the Maple Leafs game on January 3rd and 6th.
COVID-19 is also having an impact in the political arena. Canada's Labour minister has tested positive. Seamus O'Regan is now isolating. He has not said where or how he contracted the virus, nor has he provided any details about the state of his health. O'Regan is the second cabinet minister to get COVID-19. Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly made a similar announcement last week.
In the U.S., kids are being hit hardest by the Omicron variant. The number of children's hospitalizations increased by 35% nationwide in the past week, and doctors are expecting the numbers to climb even more in January. That's because of the variant's high transmissibility and holiday gatherings. There's little evidence that Omicron is causing more severe illness in children, but that's not the case for every child.
The deep freeze continues in Western Canada, where extreme cold weather warnings remain in place.
We're really concerned for not only commuters that have to commute maybe through public transit to and from work, but people that work outside and that make a living, make their living outside.
Virtually all of Alberta, most of Saskatchewan, southwestern Manitoba, and Ontario's far north are affected by the frigid weather. Record low temperatures were recorded in more than 40 communities. Wind chills could hit minus 45 in Edmonton and Calgary, perhaps for the rest of the week.
And Brazil's dealing with a different weather-related problem. 116 cities in a northeastern state are in a state of emergency, and that's because of flooding today that resulted from heavy rains that have been pounding the region for about a month. There have been 20 deaths and over 350 people injured. Cities in at least 5 other states have also been flooded in recent days.
Egypt has digitally unwrapped the mummy of famed pharaoh Amenhotep I.
So we found many important things about this mummy. Inside, about 30 amulets and a belt down covered with many golden beads. This discovery, for the first time, show that technology can make discoveries without disturbing the mummy.
Without disturbing his funerary mask, researchers used 3D imagery to discover new mummification techniques used for the pharaoh. Experts say this will allow for more discoveries without disturbing mummies.
Debate can get pretty intense on Parliament Hill, but we've never seen anything quite like this. A brawl broke out in the Jordanian parliament today amid heated arguments over controversial amendments to the country's constitution. Some lawmakers object to what they see as a further increase in the autocratic powers of the monarch. Proposed changes would give MPs the power to choose the prime minister, but critics say other amendments would further increase the king's power.
And back here at home, Toronto's theatre community is reeling.
The most successful Canadian musical ever closing permanently. Come From Away played for 865 performances in Toronto, but the production ended its run on December 22nd. The musical had opened on December 15th after a 21-month pandemic hiatus. But now the decision's been made to cancel all remaining performances because of concerns about the spread of the Omicron variant. Joining us now is John Karastamatis, Director of Marketing and Communications with Mervish Productions. Thanks for joining us, John. How difficult was it to make this decision?
It was very, very difficult. The decision was made when we took a short pause after a first positive test backstage. And in hindsight, we're glad we took that pause because it would have been much, much worse if we had continued the show. But we could not see a future that did not involve opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing. And we just decided it's too much of a burden to everyone involved with the show and a huge financial risk.
When you talk financial risk, I mean, how much money does it cost to put on a show like this?
Well, a show like this costs $7 or $8 million to create, and it cost us $1.5 million to restart it on December the 15th. So that's probably what it would cost to, if we had to close again and then restart, it would cost that much. And it would just keep going. You know, these costs would just keep rising and rising and rising. And while it is terrific to actually give people an opportunity to come to the theater and experience some joy when the world around us is just full of bad news, there was no clear path forward. We didn't know how long we could play. We didn't know whether we would be allowed a full house, a half house, only, 100 people. There were so many unanswerables.
You know, what kind of an impact do you think this might have on nearby businesses?
Well, I tell you, we've been closed 21 months, and around us are hundreds of restaurants. The majority of them have closed permanently. It's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. What used to be Toronto's entertainment district is now a derelict area of nothingness.
Yeah, not good to hear. What about capacity limits? How much of an impact does that have?
Oh, a very big impact. These shows that come from away, large scale shows, cost a lot of money to run weekly. And at 50%, you can't even break even on the weekly costs, never mind recouping any investment to get the show up and running. So it is a very, very big reason. But that wasn't the only one. It was the uncertainty coupled with the financial risk that ultimately made the decision.
Are there any government supports that might help cushion the impact?
There aren't any. Interestingly, in the United States, in the United Kingdom, and in Australia, there are safety nets for commercial theater like what we do. The government has stepped forward and is underwriting any losses. It is not giving money to make money. It is underwriting any losses so that this sector could at least continue to employ people, and the sector could continue in neighborhoods that would attract customers to other businesses. But there doesn't seem to be an interest or an appetite on any level of government in Canada for something similar.
I mean, let's just, for argument's sake, say that we get past the pandemic down the line. A production like Come From Away, would it come back in a different form with a new cast? I mean, are you saying this is it forever?
No, we're not saying that. No, Come From Away is a very special show. It's a kind of show that only comes along once every 20 or 30 years, a show that really, really is embraced by an audience. So those kinds of shows should never disappear forever. They need to come back. And when the pandemic is gone, absolutely, we will do everything we can to get Come From Away back in Toronto.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, sad to hear this, but hopefully down the line, eventually. John Karastamatis with Mervish Productions. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
And straight ahead, a labor of love years in the making. The innovative backyard ice rink in BC and how it will outlast the freezing temperatures.
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, many people stayed close to home in 2021, and many of us bought items to help us through the pandemic. Whether it was vacuums to clean up after pets, air fryers, or machines to help us sleep, we take a look at the top five products of the past year. I'll have my reports. That's just ahead.
After some flurries roll through this evening, we have a relatively clear and calm start to the day tomorrow. We'll see generally cloudy skies and winds right around 20 kilometers an hour. Getting into the afternoon, we're watching for periods of drizzle off and on. Not a ton of rain, but it doesn't take much to make that drive just a little messy. The good news, it doesn't last all that long, and we will get a bit of a break eventually as we head in towards the end of the year. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
The pandemic certainly changed the way we shopped over the past year, as well as the kinds of things we bought.
With so many of us self-isolating at home, many purchases we made were to keep us connected, as well as to keep us from getting bored. Here's Pat Foran with Consumer Alert.
Pandemic pets have been popular over the past year and a half, and that means many people bought items to keep them entertained and to keep their homes clean. Best Buy has its list of the top five categories that saw major growth in 2021.
It was another year of the pandemic puppy as many families welcomed dogs and other pets into their lives. Best Buy says with so many people staying home with their pets, vacuum sales and products to clean up after pets jumped by 160%. With so many people working and studying from home, tech for the home office was also in high demand.
We thought that we were maybe going to see that as a trend to start the year, but it carried off heavily as we started to see more employers and more schools shifting from a permanent or a semi-permanent work from home area.
The most popular countertop appliance for 2021 was definitely the air fryer, with 300% growth in air fryer sales since the start of the pandemic.
People really want to have that kind of tasty fried taste with the combination of it being a little bit more healthier.
With so many families self-isolating, video console and gaming sales have seen massive growth throughout the pandemic, with an interest in retro gaming increasing by 500%.
Retro gaming has been big, you know, whether it's like stand-up arcade machines or some of the retro gaming toys that we have here at Best Buy. I think a lot of people, you know, being at home, are looking for a little bit more to do.
While laptops and tablets have been favorites for many computer users, with so many people staying put, 2021 was also the year the desktop computer made a comeback, and not just for work and school, but entertainment too.
When they're looking at purchasing a computer for school and a computer for work, you know, these gaming machines can do it all.
Whether it was the stress of the pandemic or just the need to try and get some rest, the sale of white noise machines and other sleep devices doubled to help people get a good night's sleep.
Sleep technology is expected to remain a growing category, and it's not just sleep machines. Best Buy says many people are now purchasing sleep buds and sleep headphones that promise they can also help you have a good night's sleep. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, let's talk about the forecast. I'm noticing the ice getting flooded. I was there a couple days ago, and after about 5 minutes, it needs another flood. There's so many people out there, but the weather is good for this.
Yeah, it's perfect. Not mild out, but cold enough.
Just, it's comfortable, right, to be outside for an extended period of time. And we've seen this above seasonal trend really settle in as we got through the kind of Christmas holiday and now towards the end of the year as well. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. Now, we know that there is a ton of extremely cold air sitting over portions of Western Canada and the prairies. We are not seeing any of that in Southern Ontario. To the north, it is cooler, and that's to be expected. But we're not looking at those bone-chilling wind chills that they have out in the prairies. Although it is pretty cold up towards Piawanik, they're looking at a wind chill around minus 35, in towards Timmins minus 16, and then that's where that really cold air kind of gets cut off. And in Southern Ontario, we stay at or above seasonal as we roll into the end of the year. We're looking at a little snow making its way through as we head in towards the overnight hours. That transitions into rain and then eventually clears out temporarily. So we're looking at zero tonight through Toronto, minus one in Hamilton, zero in Niagara, cooler up towards Bancroft, but really everybody remaining above where where we should be this time of year. Getting into the day tomorrow, again, because we are just going to be that much warmer, the snow transitions into rain, likely to fall as drizzle. And the difference is the actual diameter, the size of the raindrop itself. So it's not really a measurable amount of rain. So it's just kind of messy. It'll mess with your hair, really, is kind of the distinction that I like to use. We're looking at a little more in the way of some sunshine further east towards Peterborough and Kingston, but the GTA seeing generally a cloudy start and then a little rain as we head into the later part of the day. This trough really extends all the way in towards northern Ontario, and it's going to track its way east as we head through the overnight and then into the day tomorrow. We're looking at a little snow tonight. Again, not a ton, but it doesn't take much to make that drive a little icky as we head through the overnight hours. Getting into the day tomorrow, another system rolls through, and that's what's likely to bring the potential of the rain. So timing everything out, again, a few flurries rolling through. The bulk of it is going to start to pass us as we head through the overnight. And then getting into the start of the day tomorrow, generally just cloudy, really across all of southern Ontario. But it's as we head in towards around 6 p.m. where we watch for the chance of showers. Again, likely to fall as drizzle, so it's really, really light rain. And we'll see periods of it kind of off and on as we head through the end of the day. And then Thursday, just a little cloud cover. So as we roll into the end of the year, which is on Friday, we stay at or above seasonal. So 4 degrees for your Thursday, getting into New Year's Eve, 6 degrees outside. Again, seasonal this time of year, a little closer to -1. Getting into the start of 2022, yesterday looking like to be more of a snow event. Now, because it's going to be that much warmer, it will fall as rain. We're looking at 7 degrees to kick off a brand new year, but it changes as we head in towards our Sunday, -4, that rain transitions into snow, and then we look at a little sunshine but cooler temperatures to welcome in 2022. Pauline?
Thanks so much, Jessica. Now, when BC isn't in the middle of a cold snap, the idea of a backyard ice rink seems unlikely, but a Vancouver area man has finally managed to make his dreams come true.
And as CTV's Luisa Alvarez reports, he's figured out how to make it last long after the sub-zero temperatures are gone.
It's really fun.
This outdoor hockey rink is Warren Appleton's labor of love, years in the making.
We moved into our house 8 years ago, and he's been trying to flood various types of surfaces to build an ice rink every winter.
Until this year, his other attempts haven't been successful.
You know, I did some research on the internet. Well, I told everybody it was an experiment because I didn't actually know if it would work.
The kids love it, and he may not say so, but he's having a blast being able to go out there every day with them.
Getting to lace up and practice his hockey skills in the comfort of his own home has been a joy for 8-year-old Russell, especially after COVID canceled his team's hockey tournament.
This is really special.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And I don't know that many people who their parents make them their very own ice rink.
Thanks to Dad, 6-year-old Keely's skating skills have been improving every single day.
-10 or something on there.
Unlike in other parts of the country, it's not the cold weather that's helped this rink succeed. It's all thanks to irrigation pipes underneath maintaining the rink's ideal temperature.
So I call it an ice sandwich because there's ice, then there's a tarp, and then there's some more ice.
It's been up and running since November and is here to stay for a little while longer.
I'm not sure when it gets above 8 degrees, but I imagine that he'll have a few more months use out of this thing.
Appleton started back in April, working on it every chance he could.
I'm very proud of him. I know from the time he was a kid, he's been trying to build ice rinks for himself to shoot on.
Thanks to that determination, Appleton now gets to enjoy the fruits of his labor with his own kids. Luisa Alvarez, CTV News, North Delta.
After the break, it's been called one of the most extreme forms of pain, and it strikes patients without warning. The Toronto Hospital leading the way in finding new treatments. It's known as one of the most excruciating forms of pain.
But patients with a condition known as TGN are finding new forms of relief thanks to research being done at the Kremble Brain Institute. Joshua Johnston runs controlled tests in his work as a forest fire researcher, but for many years his own well-being felt out of control because of trigeminal neuralgia, or TGN. He describes it like a bolt of lightning to the face.
There was no buildup, no nothing. And in that instant, like you can imagine, like this is by definition level 10 pain.
So occasionally there are triggers for it. For instance, just a soft blow of wind on the face or a light touch to the face can just fire this really incredibly strong pain into the face. And patients are caught off guard, and it really brings them to their knees. It's known to be one of the most severe forms of pain.
Dr. Moshtan Hodai specializes in treating TGN, and she says in many cases, the pain is caused by a blood vessel coming too close to the nerve, which affects each side of the face.
With a microscope, go to where this nerve is and remove the contact between the blood vessel and the nerve. And that is really, really good for most patients.
Medications, which sometimes help TGN patients, were of no help to Johnston because of side effects. He was experiencing hundreds of shocks a day. The microvascular decompression surgery, which Dr. Hodai described, was helpful, but only for several months. He did that twice. Then in June of 2020, Johnston was able to try a new form of neuromodulation, kind of like a pacemaker for the trigeminal nerve.
One of them comes across here in my face, and one comes down on the jawline. And they are controlled by a computer that sits here, my remote control.
Johnston can dial up or dial down the level of stimulation, and it's given him something his life has lacked, a sense of control. And he says the scientists have given him something else, too.
But even if this thing stops working tomorrow, I will live out my life in hope. And I'll do it because I know that they're still sitting there working away at this. And it's the best thing in the world, you know.
In New York, Broadway performances of The Music Man have been canceled until at least Saturday. The star of the show, Hugh Jackman, announced today he has COVID-19.
So I just wanted you to hear from me that I tested positive this morning for COVID. My symptoms are like a cold. I have a scratchy throat and a bit of a runny nose, but I'm fine. And I'm just going to do everything I can to get better ASAP. And as soon as I'm cleared, I'll be back on stage heading to River City. So just wanted you to hear from me. Please stay safe, be healthy, be kind.
The Music Man was scheduled to open in 2020, but the pandemic forced the theaters to go dark. Jackman's co-star Sutton Foster tested positive last week and was replaced by an understudy. She'll return on Sunday, but Jackman's expected to be out until January 6th.
After what she's endured, Britney Spears says she's not ready to return to making music. Spears wrote on Instagram, "I guess it seems odd to most why I don't even do music anymore. People have no idea the awful things they have done to me personally, and after what I've been through, I'm scared of people and the business." The 40-year-old singer says she wants to push herself a bit more in 2022 to do things that scare her, but not too much. Spears was freed from a conservatorship last month that gave her father control of her personal and business affairs for the past 13 years after she suffered a mental breakdown.
Meanwhile, Taylor Swift is challenging a court ruling that allows a copyright infringement case against her to proceed. Two songwriters claim Swift stole their lyrics and concept for her 2014 hit Shake It Off. The singer's lawyers argue some of the phrases and content is in the public domain. The lawsuit was initially dismissed but revived on appeal when the judge found that numerous factors met the legal threshold for potential similarity. A hearing on the request to reconsider the lawsuit is set for February 7th in Los Angeles.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
The testing system is almost impossible to get, like, for most people now. Like, the wait is for days, the result takes days, far beyond when you should be able to act on it.
Updating our top stories, health experts say surging COVID-19 case counts have put a strain on Ontario's testing system, leaving many people waiting days for their results or unable to get tested at all. Ontario's health ministry is now reviewing testing guidance.
I do understand that these measures will impact many families, but we must remain vigilant, particularly against the new Omicron variant.
The province is pausing visits at long-term care homes, but will still grant access to designated caregivers. The move is meant to limit community spread of COVID-19 within the facilities, which have been hit hard by previous waves of the pandemic.
The hockey world continues to feel the impact of COVID-19. At the World Juniors, two members of Team USA tested positive for the virus, forcing the defending champs to forfeit their game against Switzerland. Meanwhile, the NHL's postponed 10 more games. One due to COVID-19-related issues, the other nine are in Canadian cities with strict pandemic restrictions in place. The league says it hopes to reschedule those games when the restrictions are eased or lifted.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
Leila Fernandez has good reason to celebrate. She's been named the Canadian Press Female Athlete of the Year. The 19-year-old Montrealer advanced to the U.S. Open final last summer. It was one highlight in a breakout season that included her first career WTA Tour title. Fernandez received 12 of 45 votes to win this year's Bobby Rosenfeld Award. Swimmers Penny Oleksiak and Maggie McNeil finished with 10 votes apiece.
Tonight, the shift in the shopping routine as food prices soar.
People will become way more frugal.
From the restaurant to the grocery store, how Canadians plan to save. Later on CTV National News.
Even with tight restrictions, many people are getting out and trying to stay active during the holidays.
Tonight, the story of one little girl using this time to learn a new skill. CTV's Kimberly Johnson reports from Kingston.
Taking a spill is all part of the process for Seeley McDuffie.
I just kind of like falling down. I don't know why.
The 7-year-old is teaching herself how to skate here at Springer Market Square, where she's been almost every day for 2 weeks since school let out. It may be the first time she's on the blades, but still, it's a thrill.
I push off, and then for a second, I'm just like standing. I am not moving, but I'm moving at the same time, and it feels, it has a nice feeling about it.
Her diligent dad taking it all in from the sidelines.
Good job, Seal. You got it.
Alan McDuffie says the family is spending their first winter in Canada, moving here earlier this year from Pennsylvania. He says COVID has meant not returning to the U.S. for Christmas, and with restrictions in Kingston because of high case counts keeping many things closed, bringing his daughter here has been important to him.
Look, I can see you getting better and better.
We want to fill the time with and make new kinds of memories and do things she'll remember as a way to kind of counteract some of this isolation.
To meet Ontario's COVID-19 guidelines, only 25 people are allowed in the rink at any time. And the gear, not just skates and helmets, it means bringing a mask too. And only 15-minute skates at a time. That means skaters must line up and wait their turn. All part of the fun for Seeley.
Like when I'm standing in the line, I see people go by with cool tricks. And I'm like, when I get on the ice, I'm going to try that. And I always fail, but I mean, sometimes I succeed, but usually not.
Dad can't skate himself, but says he wants her to embrace her new home, mastering all things classically Canadian.
She keeps falling and just getting right back up and never complaining. It's really, really nice to see.
And while skating today may be done, she's not stopping anytime soon.
We'll be back tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yes, all the time.
Kimberly Johnson, CTV News, Kingston.
Such a great story.
And good
of course,
for her.
Great skating weather, too,
yes.
Today, Jessica.
We're seeing the snow hold off for a little bit longer, so if you're going to get out tonight, do it sooner rather than later. We are watching a low tracking up from the U.S. It's going to bring some scattered flurries right across southern Ontario, and then eventually that transitions in towards some rain or even potentially freezing drizzle. We're looking at temperatures right now, really, for the most part, between -1, -2, up to about 2 degrees. Again, this above-seasonal trend really doesn't go anywhere as we wrap up 2021. Getting into Thursday and Friday, between 4 and 6 degrees, New Year's Eve, temperature-wise, not bad. And then we're looking at some rain on New Year's Day. Pauline?
Thanks, Jessica. And that is our newscast for this evening. Be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, you can watch breaking news all day on CP24.
For Jessica Smith and all of us here at CTV News, thanks for watching and have a good night.